Dr. Russell Anderson is one of the world's most unknown and most unbelievable men you'll ever meet. I'm going to read a verse to you. 2 Corinthians 9:6, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." Brother Anderson grew up in the coal mines of southeast Kentucky. He had a biography printed about him. It's called From the Coal Mine to the Gold Mine, one of the dearest books I have in my library. He is a patriarch for fundamentalism, but he's also a patriot for America. God has used Dr. Anderson to give, I believe, at or over $40 million for the cause of Christ. Now, you have to understand something. He's helped start or take care of 10 Bible colleges. He's helped over 500 churches worldwide. He has seen over 22 million people saved by his giving. That's just what he can chart. That doesn't include, there's probably another 10, 15 million on top of that from all the Bible college graduates and all the churches started by those Bible colleges. That's not any of that. Over 22 million people. Now, may I say something? There are names, Billy Sunday, D.L. Moody, and Jack Hiles, that saw a million people saved in their lifetime, and those are the only three. He's done more than 20 times what they did, and he didn't preach his whole life. Amen. He used his business acumen and what God did for him, and he is seeing multiplied tens of millions of people saved. Dr. Anderson got saved, I believe you're 29, is that correct? 28 years old. He had married a Christian lady, and he got mad at her. He'd work 6 days a week. Sunday was his only day off, and she went to church, and he wouldn't go. He said, "You don't love me." She said, "You don't love me." She finally convinced him to go. And then he heard the gospel for the first time and got saved, and God just turned him around. When he had became a millionaire, he began living by these four principles. He tithed and gave offerings. He was faithful to every church service. He was faithful to win souls. He was faithful to reading his Bible and prayer every day. This is a man that walks with God. I know while he was a businessman with multiplied many businesses, he spent the first 3 hours of every day reading his Bible and praying. He didn't talk business, didn't talk to anybody but God for the first 3 hours of his day. Is it any wonder God did what God is doing through him? He's had a huge impact on my life. He's had a huge impact on this church. One of the colleges that he helped found is where I was trained. I met my wife there. I got married. You can blame him, not me, all right? you have to understand something. All three of my children left home and went to Bible college under Brother Fugit. He helped start Brother Fugit's Bible college. My oldest son graduated. My other son spent a year there and is a good layman in the church there. My daughter just finished her first year there. Say, why? Because of that man right there. Because of that man right there. Amen. My son's pastoring because of that fellow right there. He's married, and she's upset with you. This church, in 3.5 years, we've seen over 2,500 people saved. You are the trackingest people I've ever seen in my life. 42,000 people in Berkeley County. We've passed out over 90,000 gospel tracts. Everybody's home's got at least two of them in there, I promise you. Everywhere I go, people are... We got Doc to the hotel last night. I started to walk through the lobby, and the lady said, "Pastor, could you pray for me?" That's like sick him to a bulldog. I turned around and said, "Sure." I began to talk to her, and she's going through a little struggle. I opened up my Bible and gave her the gospel last night. Can I tell you something? People all over the place are hurting. They're hurting. Dr. Anderson is my friend. He's this church's friend. And may I say this, he's God's friend. Yes. Like Abraham of old, you have the friend of God here with you today. I'm going to make a statement. God gave me this statement this week in my office as I thought about Dr. Anderson. But Dr. Anderson is probably responsible for the gospel being given to more people and more people saved all over the world than any human being outside Jesus Christ. Now you think about that. Probably nobody is responsible for the gospel getting out any more to more people than what that man has done, except for Jesus Christ himself. We owe it to Dr. Anderson to listen to him today, and I'm excited to have him. Brother Anderson?
All right. All right, you may be seated. I wish you put that in writing, what you just said about me. No, I meant where I can pass it around.
I'll get it there.
I tell you, it's such an honor for me to be here. First of all, I got the thank you cards out of all them goodies that you all sent here, and I'm going to share them all right now, and I can't eat them all either. I'm on a diet. When I put these pair of pants, I hadn't worn this suit in 3 or 4 years, and so I used to catch them on sales, Hughes, Hatcher, and Suffern. It was J.C. Penney's. And so they put a $400 suit on sale for $125, and I'd buy quite a few of them. I put it on this morning. I said, I'm going to take this to the cleaners this week and have them let another inch or two out. Then come here and all those giddies there. So what I eat to see for dinner Friday night was rice and beans,
Amen.
Pinto beans.
Yes, sir.
Trying to watch the calories. And so there. But I'm so excited about being here. So thankful. I'm speaking to another church about next 6 or 7 Sunday. I'm hardly ever in my home church. I just come out of Hawaii. When it starts snowing in Michigan in December, the Holy Spirit leads me to go to Waikiki Beach to do missionary work. And do missionary work until May. So I came back the 16th of May. That's my 85th birthday. So I've coined the phrase, sitting back here talking ladies, I'm 85 and still alive and praying God for 5 more.
Amen.
Praying for another 5 that I can go around just bragging what God did for me and did to me. And so, but this church here is unique. I'll tell you what, I'm looking at the problem you have are full. But this is not as bad as 7 of us was in a one-bedroom house down in Kentucky. It wasn't it was not one bedroom and a bath. It was just one bedroom and a path. We had to worry about scotch on our door. And so from that, and never had electricity or running water either one. You can tell why I don't have any hair. I couldn't see how to comb it, you see. And so I was speaking down in Kansas once, and normally when I speak and the pastor has young girls, 7, 8, 9 years old, I said, I'll ask a lot of them. I said, will you be my date? I said, your daddy has a date, and I don't have one. My wife went to heaven 3 years ago, little 3. And there's one girl down in Kansas, she said, yeah, I'll be your date. And so I said, we went out on Saturday night and went there. And so I said, will you be my date tomorrow? I said, yeah. So she got out and told a lot of people she had a date with a millionaire. And so then I gave her, I carry some little necklaces and stuff, and I gave them to her. And so I buy them in Hawaii. And so then we went out Sunday night, before I got up to speak, the pastor says, my 10-year-old daughter wants to read something to you. And she got up and read and said, my date ain't got no hair. I don't care. That don't bother me. I don't care because I heard he's a millionaire. And to think, and so the best way to explain, now I'm going to, oh yeah, I got time for it, I think. Best way to explain my testimony, this explains it. One time there was a man out of work, and he tried to get a job everywhere, and he saw the First Baptist Church had an ad in there for a custodian. He went to apply down to apply for that job, and the pastor noticed him, big arms. He said, you're hard. He said, just sign your name right here. He said, Pastor, I can't sign my name. I'm from Kentucky. They never taught me how to write. Well, you can't work here if you don't have you can't sign your name. So he went out and he thought, well, I've got a wife and 3 kids. I've got one dime. I'll tell you what I'll do. He thought to pray for God for wisdom. I'll buy two apples, a nickel piece. I'll go down the lake, and then I'll sell them for a dime a piece. And he did that, and he came back and bought four, went down and sold them, come back and bought eight, and then 16, and 32, and then 64, and then started buying bushels. And he could not sign his name, but every night he'd go around and get his profit. He had a big sack. We used to call them coffee sacks. Mm-hmm. How many knows what a coffee sack was? Back to when I grew up, we used to have sacks with the cow food came in. You made dresses out of. How many ever did that? You know that. Wash on boards. Mm-hmm. And so he had a big sack in his bathroom, in his bedroom, so he'd come in and put his money in there. And then he opened up a fruit stand down on a business section in the corner of town. And then he opened up another, had a chain of fruit stands. He kept putting that money in a bag at night. He went in one night and it's clear full. And he counted it. He said, I must count this. See what I, and it's $1 million. He said, well, I better put this in the bank tomorrow. So you imagine him walking in the bank with $1 million in a big sack, walked up to the trailer. And that little girl, the girl said, what you got? He said, I got $1 million. She said, you kidding me? No, I don't. I said, just a minute. She went and got the president of the bank, told him, said, show him my office. The moral of the story, if you don't see the president of the office, you take $1 million down tomorrow. And and so he brought him in and said, what you got in that bank? He said, $1 million. He said, count it out. So this man counted it out, went $8. The banker smiled, said, we sure are glad to have you as a customer here. Said, would you sign your name right here? He said, mister, I can't sign my name. I'm from Kentucky. He never told me right. What? You've got $1 million and you can't sign your name? Where would you be if you could sign your name? He said, custodian down First Baptist Church. So that's the best way that I know it. And by the way, this church, let me just say something. I'm very impressed. Now, I'm in a different state about every week. And the last 5 weeks before I came home, I flew 50,000 miles. It's 9 hours from Honolulu to Atlanta, and then I go there and sit 2 hours and catch another flight and go somewhere, and then I preach 3 to 5 times, and then I get Monday morning. I have to get up real early in the morning, fly back into Atlanta to catch the 10 o'clock flight back to Hawaii. If I don't, it's about 5 hours on my flight. And I've did that, and I did approximately 50,000 miles. Now, that'd be hard on you young people, let alone an 85-year-old man. And so I'm used everywhere. But you people, here's what I thought, Pastor, is this. Or here's another one of those notes that come out of one of my boxes. It's presents you brought. And so I thought of this here about the church down here and your people. See, I was in a church recently, it cost $5 million to replace it today, approximately. And so there were enough 50 people there. And here it is, you people are going out and you visitors coming. Now, there's something's going to happen here. God's blessed. God's hands. Yes. I'm very much impressed with the pastor. And not only that, I'm impressed with the rewards a lot of you laymen are going to have.
Yes, sir.
The Bible says every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. And God has no favorites. But it speaks well to me not only of the pastor and his faith. Some people call it foolishness to step out the way he has. But also it reminds me or tells me that there's a lot of laymen here is going to have a lot of rewards in heaven. Now, you wait to see what God. You want to receive your own reward according to your own labor, not someone else's. And the faith you have back in this. I went to a church they didn't like Dr. Howes. I got saved in 1959, and then 6 weeks later, I heard him. I tried to get the church to start a soul winning personal conference. They didn't like that. Me and I got a buddy, and we'd make 18, 20 calls when somebody to Christ and come in and bring them in. They went and baptized them. The Sanhedrin Council, that's the board of deacons and the pastor, they didn't know he was saved, and I guess they wanted to hold him up for 6 months and then if he's tithed and everything, he held out, then they'd vote him in maybe. Should have been smart enough to withhold his tithes. They'd let him in sooner. And so they wouldn't let him, so I decided to go over to way in the country, a big church downtown. Soft pews and a little church running 100 and some. And in one bathroom, you imagine what it is, the boys and girls run buses between services. And so, but when I went over and joined the church, well, the deacons were not out soul winning. We're not out visiting like you people were. We're not working. And I said, you tell me you're deacon in this church and you're not out visiting. Where's you at Thursday night? I was out visiting. And the first night I went to there, I won a lady to cross, and she's still serving the Lord. And I said, that was 50-some years ago, 56 years, her she and her family. Her husband's in heaven. And so I said, you're going to answer to God some of these days this. And, you know, I kept reminding them what their responsibility, and they come out and started going soul winning. I'm telling you that to say this, but then about 8 years later when I left that church, we had gone through two or three building programs, and we'd gone and built a bigger church and went from 100 and some, we had around 800 in Sunday school church. That's when I saw another church for sale in my town in Belleville, Michigan. That's pretty close to Ann Arbor, 60 miles from Detroit. And so I saw another church for sale, 7 acres. I bought that church and bought the 7 acres and the house, 3-bedroom part. Called the college, and they sent John Vapersand up. I said, we'll start another church. And I left that church, 800, and we started the one when the preacher come up there. Of course, John Vapersand had a house for him to move in, the church started in. We went out and started knocking on the door, I think we've seen over 25,000 people baptized there and about 200,000 saved.
Amen.
And so it's amazing what God, it all because a group of laymen decided to go help the pastor.
Amen. Yes, sir.
And so great will be your reward, and just wait, you wait and see. Now, it took us about five, six, to get in a big building, you know, the first building. And then the next one, I don't know, but Pastor John and I, we started in 72, I think it was, and he's been there 40, 41 years now, and so, but they are positions for laymen. God can use laymen.
Yes, sir.
And let me tell you, I'm getting ahead of myself. I better save that later on. Just think about it this. You see, God's no respect of persons.
Amen.
God will soon use you as he had me. You know, God loves you and I as much as he does the pastor.
Yes, sir.
Okay. You know, he will soon use you and I as a pastor. See what Nehemiah did. He prayed for 3 months. God sent him. I think it was. And I could read. I preached it a lot. And Nehemiah was a layman. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, Gideon was a layman.
That's right.
Huh? Took 300 men. God sent 33,000. You got too many to send them home. He took just a handful of men. So we only need a few good men to really make this church go. Think where this church could be in 35 to 40. No, not that much. In 5-10 years,
yes,
just
sir.
People just keep coming. Watch it grow. Get involved in something. It's starting something new.
Mm-hmm.
I've started, as he told you, the reason why that a lot of churches that been started. I gave him a letter. So I think it's on about 1,200 churches I built in the Philippines, and three or four colleges there, and then one Mexico City. I'll tell you something you won't hardly believe. How many know who Dr. Bob Gray is, Senior? Dr. Bob Gray Senior. Okay. He preached in my college in Mexico City. I called Kevin Wynn. He graduated from the college. Did you go to college, Kevin Wynn?
He went just before I went.
Before you did? And he went over there, and I didn't even know him. I'd heard about his work. He got a little building full, running over. And I was studying the Bible one morning about 4 o'clock in Hawaii. And I called him one morning. I said, I don't know how to tell you this, but God told me to build you a college and a church. I said, go out and find some land. I thought it'd land be cheap in Mexico. I guess it is someplace in Mexico City. They started around $500,000-$600,000, and we finally got a few acres for $350,000. I built him a church, and so Dr. Bob Graves was our speaking in April. He said, I never saw anything about my life. Had 15,000 Sunday morning, 9,000 Sunday night, 7,000 Thursday night, midweek, sir, and baptized over 900 people. They say it's the largest Baptist church in the world. I don't know. So it's amazing what God can do for someone that will sell themselves out to God.
Yes, sir.
Tonight I'm going to be giving more the formula I used and how I made went from 50 cents a day and made $8.6 million one day. You know, that beats working for a living, doesn't it? Get God on your side. It's amazing. How can you explain a man with a young boy was in a house of seven of us, and oil lamps up in the mountains. We raised our own food, had hogs and chickens and eggs. You know what we did with the chicken when it quit laying? Chicken and dumplings.
Yes, sir.
I learned that right fast. If you don't produce, I told my employees, I had some business. I said, chicken's the only bird that can produce sitting down. I'm going to drive a stake beside you. I'm coming back in an hour. If you haven't moved, I'm going to fire you. And so, but it's just amazing what God did. And we're going, how do you explain that? How do you explain? No education, no anything. But dad and mother, no one in church, time of their life. They cuss one another. Every time God's name is mentioned, they fought all the time. And so, and then raising that coal mining back up to the coal camps where they kill people. And the mentality of the Kentucky people back when I grew up, say I'm 85, say 75 years ago, you kick somebody's dog, he's going to get his gun and kill you. Mm-hmm. Three things kept you alive down there. Leave a man's wife and his dog and his children alone. If you did that, honestly, I've seen people killed and bring out on the wagon. Imagine raising all that drinking. And I hate to say for 20, that's what teenagers did. I didn't know anything, but I got involved in a car wreck one night coming out of Hazard. That cut me, cut the top completely out of the car, and I sat in the front seat. I don't say mash it down. If this, I'm sitting under the seat and right beside the door here, and how I survived, I don't know. Sat in the front seat, got cut, my cut the top completely out of the car. I was raised up in that filth, and then I heard the gospel.
Praise the Lord.
And when I was 29 years old, 28, and so, and then got saved, and then I began to go to church. Now tonight, I'm just what God did. And since God's no respecter of persons, when I talk around here, pastor like that, I hope some of your people will get the vision. Well, yes, tonight, the formula I use to build, God did it, not I did. I told him about a letter I received not long ago. I speak down in Ashland, Kentucky. The guy wrote and said, boys, let me tell you what you did yesterday. He called me on Monday, and I got back on Tuesday morning. I said, wait a minute. Let me stop right there. It's not what I did. It's what the Holy Spirit did.
Yes, sir.
Now, the worst thing you and I can do is try to take credit for something that God does.
Yeah.
That's the worst thing we can do. I'll tell you the most dangerous time in your life, too, is when you start making more money than you need to pay your bills. Take that, too. That's the most dangerous time in your life, when you got more money. I just wonder, I wonder how many of your people that's inviting, how many people in this building here, now you're doing something for God. God got his eyes on you. You're helping this man. But if somebody put $5 million in your hand, you bought you a new car and built you a $1 million house, you buy you $500 dresses, $500 shoes, would you work in the church nursery then? Well, pastor, my dress cost me $1,000. Well, that baby would burp up on my head.
Mm-hmm.
You better watch it. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. It's a dangerous thing now. Money, it's not wrong to own money as long as money don't own you.
Yes, sir.
I own money, but money doesn't own me. I can write you a check right now for $1 million. And I've given away all that. But my mission giving every year is $500,000, and I haven't worked since 99. I quit, got rid of all my real estate and all my buildings, 457 house apartment, gave it all back to God.
Amen.
And so it don't come up easy, and may have to come up me 500. My budget is almost $1 million a year. You don't take all others' offerings from me. But it's amazing what God did. Now, I've got to give God the credit later. Just imagine me raising that filth, no education, can't sign my name hardly, and you can't read it when I do sign it. And God does something like it. Only God can do that.
Yes.
And you know what? God loves you,
yes,
like he does me. But now, beloved, let me tell you this. There's a price to pay for it. God's not a pushover.
Yes, sir.
You read Genesis chapter 37 and 30 about Joseph, 17 years old, and his brother sold him as a slave down to Egypt, went down there in Potiphar's house. And so he put him in a pit and put down there, and then from there it became a position. Now I can tell you how to get a raise on your job. I can tell you what Joseph did. And so he went down there and he served God, and he was Potiphar. And then Potiphar put him over everything. I'd like to expound on that a little bit. When I had four and fifth step house apartments, Corvettes and Jaguars and Lamborghinis and all kinds of toys, folks and I would say, well, I'm going to Hawaii for the winter. Who's 17 years old here? I see any boy 17? Anybody? Girl? 17? Okay. 17? All right. 17-year-old boy. I get all the people together. My employees have been working for me. I got all you, my employees. This is your new boss. He put Joseph over everything. It tells it in Genesis 39. He didn't even know how much money he had. Me turn all that over? And I'd say, by the way, to him, when I come back, I said, I got some condos in Oceanfront. Why I sold that Oceanfront, made $1.7 million, give me it all to Jesus, too. But I'm going to let you take my Corvettes, and you can drive the Corvettes here after you get my job all done. He'd collect all my rent. So I'd get rent from 457 people every month. That's just one of my sidelines. I had trucking business, building business. And that. God gave me the wisdom to do all that. Now, listen to what I say, God said. Now, open your Bibles, 1 Chronicles chapter 28. 1 chapter 28. Now, I hope you come tonight. I'll tell you a little bit more about the some of the formula I use, still using it. It's working. I've proven it. And so I want you to come tonight. Now, I have a question for you. I'll get down to the Bible says it is appointed a man wants to die, and after that, the judgment. And so, therefore, it's appointed a man wants to die. Now, sometimes, how much longer are you going to live? I know a man in Detroit, written in the paper. He went to work one morning. He had a backhoe digging a serum water lead into a place. And so he dug the big hole. Guess his wife, probably. She probably fixed him a lunch that morning. And he violated a safety rule. And that is, anytime you dig a hole, say five feet by seven, something like that, letting some in. Normally they're about 8 foot deep, he had it. And he got off and he got down there trying to find the sewer pipe. Now, that's when you get down in a hole like that, you're supposed to have a square piece of iron. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You set down for safety. It's about this thick, the iron, and then you're encased in that. But then he got down there and it caved in on him. And two of the workmen saw him and dug him a little bit out and where he could breathe. He was buried. And then here came more, and they barely got out and covered him up some more. And so then it took 24 hours, I think, to get him out of there. That man was buried three times. See? And 3 days. Now, he didn't know he was going to die. Now, how much longer are you going to die? How much longer are you going to live till you die? Now, I've got to question you, man. If you only had 30 days to live, I'm not sure 30 days. They may be throwing dirt in my face in 3 days for it. But I'm ready to go. But let me ask you a question. Oh, you men. If you had 30 days to live, what would you say to your wife? Huh? What instructions would you give? What instruction would you give your children? Or wives, if you had 30 days to live? Don't you young girls know you think what you would do if your mother only had 30 days? What would you say, Mom, to children? What would you say if you don't think you only had 30 days? Now, in 1 Chronicles chapter 28, I'm going to show you a man that was he just had a few days to live and what he did. His name was David, King David. And so chapter 28, 1 Chronicles. And here's what he did when he found out God, he only had a few days to live. And David assembled all the princes of Israel, the princes of the tribes, and the captains and companies that ministered the captains of the companies that ministered to the king by course, and the captains over 1,000, captains over 100, and the stewards over all the substance and possessions of the king and his sons, his officers with the mighty men, with all the valiant men of Jerusalem. In other words, he got them all together, and he's going to give them some instruction. Now, verse 2, then David the king sat up on the feet and said, hear me, my brethren and my people. As for me, I had mine heart to build a house for the rest of the Ark of the Covenant. I wanted to build God the temple that Solomon built, and I wanted to build a house for the Ark of the Covenant. I think it's about 24 inches or 30, something this way. I want to put an Ark of the Covenant. Well, as long as the Ark of the Covenant, that meant God's presence was there.
Right. Yes, sir.
God's presence was there.
Yes, sir.
and the children of Israel cherish it most of the time. And so he said, I want to build a house. But then he said, then David, verse 2, David the king stood up and upon his feet and said, hear me, my brethren, my people, is that for me? I had in my heart to build a house for the rest of the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and for the footstool for our God that made ready for building. But God said to me, thou shalt not build a house for my name, because thou hast been a man of war and had shed blood. Howbeit, the Lord God of Israel chose me before all the house of my father. You know, he had seven brothers to be king over Israel. For he has chosen Judah to be ruler of the house of Judah and the house of my father among the sons of my father. He liked me to make me king for all Israel. Our Father, we pray your blessings now upon the rest of the service. Holy Spirit of God, will you work in people's hearts? May we all answer that question. If we had another 30 days to live, what would we say? What would we say to our wives, our children, our church? May we all think about that. And then with David, as he is talking here, and may we follow the example that he set for us. We pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I find in something, young people, I find something, chapter 4, down to verse 4, brother. He said, the last sentence there, among my, due to the house of my father, among the father of my, he liked me to make me king. He liked me. Now, why did David chosen over his seven brothers? He said God liked him. Now, when I find something like that, I want God to like me, do you?
Yes, sir.
I want to do things to make God happy. Yeah. I write God letters all the time. God, please let me live. I want to be a better Christian next week than I was this week. I'm making promises all the time. God, this morning, I want to honor you more. I want to serve you more. I want to please you more. And then, dear Jesus, I want to worship you this morning. So I'm constantly figuring out why I'm wanting God to like me. If I can get God, now I'm not very smart, never been to college, but if I can get God on my side, you can't do it. You can't touch me.
That's right.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
That's right. Huh? That's what we do. God and one make a majority. Get God on your side. Yes. He said, he liked me to make me king. And I went back and searched the scripture, and the only thing I can find, teenagers, young this. Only thing I can find about David, he obeyed his dad. His dad. His mama, too. It said, now, son, I want you to go out and take these sheep out here all night long. I want you to watch them now. And all night now, he's just a young boy, too, 15 maybe then. Find a cave at night, put the sheep in there, build a fire out in front, but don't let the lions and the bears get them. And you know what David did to the two that did that. He run around and killed them, cut them open, but they got his lambs back. And then the other time, he said, now, his dad said to him, I want you to take these groceries down to your brother who's fighting the Philistines. And that's when he saw the giant, you see. And so, I want you to say, he obeyed his dad. So it tells me here, then, he liked me, make me king. You know, God is very choosy who he puts in command. He's like me because, and verse 5 said, and all my sons, for the Lord had given me many sons, have chosen Solomon. But he liked, David said he liked me, and the only thing he did, obeyed to that Goliath. He went down when he killed Goliath. But he liked me to make me the king over Israel. And then he said in verse 5, and all my sons, for the Lord have given me many sons, you have chosen Solomon, my son, to sit upon the throne of the king of the Lord of Israel, over the God of Israel. Now the reason why he's mentioned Solomon here, because Solomon's had half-brothers. David had more than one wife. And his half-brothers, a lot of them, they was wanting to be king. Mm-hmm. In fact, one of them, you know, got him 50 men, about Donalja or someone. He got him a bunch of men run. And then they came and told, I think the priest there came and told David's wife, said that Bathsheba said, no, he's trying to take king, you know, he's chosen Solomon. And so he sent to put Solomon on his mule. But then he said, I'm going to read verse 6. And he said to me, Solomon, my son, he shall build my house and my courts, and I have chosen him to be my son. I'll be his father. Moreover, I will establish his kingdom forever, if. You know, sir, when God chose someone, all his blessings, all his promises, comes with an if. Mm-hmm. Biggest little word in the Bible. If. If you obey me. if you obey me, obedience.
Yes,
and I prayed this morning, God, I want to be more obedient to you. And I keep traveling and going. Moreover, I will, step 7, if he constant to do my commandments and thy judgment at this day. Now, therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the congregation of the Lord and the audience of our God, keep and seek all the commandments of the Lord your God. See, here's what he said. He's going to tell Solomon here now, I want you to get to know my God. He knew he was going to die in a few days. And he keeps telling him, verse 8, now therefore in the sight of all Israel, the congregation of the Lord, and in the audience of our God, keep and seek for all the commandments of the Lord your God, that you may possess this good land and leave it for an inheritance for your children. See, the if not, if you will obey Solomon, then your children will have a good inheritance. Let me say this about us men. You know, a lot of people can't leave their children $1 million, but they can leave them something more important. That's a good reputation.
Yes, sir.
Proverbs 22:1, it tells you you leave a good inheritance for your children.
Yes, sir.
A model. And let me tell you something else. I think it's wrong, men, to send your children to college and never teach them to work.
Yes, sir.
Every child. Didn't you tell me your daughter worked her first year of tuition out there? Man, if I was 17, I'd marry you. Somebody work that work like, see, teaching responsibility. I've got 3 daughters. I taught them country music. I caught when they was 15 years old. My wife packed them a lunch. They'd go to my apartments and work all day long. And then laundry rooms and cleaning and apartments, getting them ready to re-rent and lawns. They had long blonde hair, and so. And so they come in at night and so tired. But, hey, they didn't watch television. Parents, let me tell you something. Get rid of your television.
Yes, sir.
Or control it.
Yes, sir.
You tell your children what they can and cannot watch.
Yes, sir.
Let me tell you young people something right like now. On that television, when we show some boy and girl, the first thing you do is start unbuttoning their blouse. Do you know there's 500 people, 50 people in that room and with those cameras and taking that? They're not alone. No man should unbutton your bosom except your husband on a wedding night. And so, you don't think, if I could just instill in your mind, young people, and your parents, when you see those love scenes there, somebody has to be recording that. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
They're doing that. That's the old devil's trick, is to get our children away from us.
Yes, sir.
It's done the worst. It's done more damage than anything else in the world. Somebody has to be recording. Those have the sound room, the lights, and everything. And so the best thing you do is get that. Then he said, verse 9, and thou, Solomon, my son, know the God of thy father. Huh? I tell my children, know it. Okay, by me giving them work, I've got some money invested today for them that they made when they was a teenager. I won't tell them how much. I'm sure not going to tell the son-in-laws how much. I got money invested, but I told them work. You know what? They've written me letters now. You know, one of them's attorney. They call that bulldog blonde. You get told, oh, she won't settle out of court. Most attorneys today, 90% of them just say, if you ever need an attorney, find out one that has tried a case recently. They want to discover for a year, discovery, send you a bill every month, and then say, let's settle out of court. It's hard to find. They say, check all their bulldog blonde. Your client did this, you did me wrong, and you're going to pay. I'm going to settle out of court if we let the judge and the jury decide. And her other daughter, she runs a multi-million-dollar business in Dallas. 9 doctors and 30 employees in that, and she runs everything. Right now, they're building a big new office. You know, they give her the prints, you're over the project. She hires the contractors and everything because I taught them work. They send me the letters, and they thank me for teaching them to work.
Yes.
And the value of money. Yeah. So I'm saying this, Dad. Teach them to work. Get lawns. If you have to, get lawns. Cut them how to cut lawns. I know one mother puts a couple of lawnmowers in the back of a station wagon and takes those kids to where that they can cut the lawns.
Yes, sir.
I know some boys right now that got $3,000 or $4,000 in the bank cutting lawns.
Yes, sir.
But see, you cut yourself. You teach a child. You're teaching it how preparing it for the future, how to make money. He said here, verse 9, and thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father and serve him with a perfect heart. See, he's encouraging his son to live for God. Now if you just had 30 days, man, what would you say? You better be thinking about laying it down. And serve him with a perfect heart, with a willing mind, for the Lord searches all the hearts and understands the imagination of the thoughts. If, there's that if there, if thou seek him, he will be found in thee. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off. Take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build a house for the sanctuary, to be strong and do it. Now I'm going to skip over to chapter 29 now. And I'm going to turn 29, I won't read one verse yet in 28. And 20, and David said to Solomon, son, be strong of a good courage and do it. Fear not, dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. Now he's telling himself, son, not the son, if you want to be successful, you got to serve my God. Amen. That's why I told my daughters. And one of them makes $150,000 a year now. And I don't know what the other, pretty close to that, but one loves to teach school. She don't make that much, not teaching school. But she loves to teach school. She loves to serve God, and so she's in Christian school. But anyway, I taught them responsibility. That's why, hey, by the way, I sold the television. That was theirs. I said, well, I got $300, $500 for it. I'll just put it. I gave it to them. See, because I was working 12, 15 hours a day, and my wife couldn't watch what they was watching. In fact, she told me, said, that television is hurting our family. And I said, I'll get rid of it. And we never had a television. That's mean old daddy. But today, look where that. So that television is ruining your family. Mm-hmm. And remember, young ladies, and that next time you know all this drive and all that caress you see on that? You know they're sitting in a studio in California. I watched it, Universal Studio. Mm-hmm. That's not outside, in fact. They're sitting there talking sometimes. They forget, and they're too long. And they said, they're not really driving. That's just the fakest. If you make your parents, your children know that, that if you're going to let them, but I say either get rid of it or control it, what they will want. Then he says here in verse 29, now here's what David said to his son. David, the king, said to all the congregation, Solomon, my son, whom alone God hath chosen, and yet young and tender, and the work is great, and for the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now I have prepared with all my might the house of my God, the goal. Now look, he's telling him what he's going to do is his goal. See, if the first thing that you got to do, what I've promised God, if you want to get some of your prayers answered, right, better God, you when you ask God for something, pray for something, you tell him what you'll do if he'll give it to you.
Yes, sir.
How did Hannah, who's her name, Hannah, a girl a while ago? Okay, the Hannah in 1 Samuel, how did she get, Hannah was born, Now, 1 Samuel chapter 1, yeah. And so, but Hannah, yeah. And so she couldn't have children. She went up to the temple to pray, and Eli thought she's drunk. Said, I'm not drunk, I want a child. And said, but here's how she got the child. She says, God, if you give me a child, I'll raise him for you. I'll give him back to you when I wean him. Amen. Now, she got what she wanted, a child raised. Now, when God answers prayers, you make God a promise, a vow. You better pay it. Then yes, she sir. Took him up as she weaned him to the temple and gave him to Eli. Samuel became probably the best, the largest of prophet, one of the best prophets in the Old Testament. Now, so she told him what she got. Then she what God got. Then God gave her five more babies.
Yes, sir.
You see? And so to get things out of God, you make him promises, write promises and vow. I've got a letter in this book right here that I wrote in 1968 in my Bible. Promising God if he'd bless me what I would do. I told him, I went to my pastor, I said, Pastor, why don't you pray for me? I've got three men in this drywall construction business a little bit. And I saw the importance of having Christian schools. I started the first Christian schools in my town of Ypsilanti. Mm-hmm. Me and some businessmen, two or three. I said, if God let me make some money, if I does, big money, I'll build some schools, I'll support missionaries, I'll support missionaries and build churches. God said, all right, I'll put you to the test. About 9 months later, a builder went broke and broke me. He owed me a lot of money. I would build in Southville. And by the way, the first Sunday, Pastor, after I got saved, I was taking $150 a week then. I gave God $15.
Yes, sir.
Now, there's a lot of weeks there I could not take a salary. I did not take anything. But I thought it'd be awful if God went out payday and I scrape up and get $15 for him, some way or another. And so I said, I don't want him to go out. That's sacrificial giving. Here I was broke. You know what the old devil said to me? He said, Bruce, he said, this Jesus is not for you. He said, you had more money when you served me. The old devil talked to you. And said, here it is. You got this saved Jesus thing. You're broke. You got a car payment, a house payment, a truck payment, and a wife payment. Yes, got me. And this old age at two can live, she's one, that's a lie. Mm-hmm. And said, why don't you come back? See, the old devil talks to you. Hey, by the way, he talked to Adam and Eve. Was there? You and I are no match for the devil. Adam and Eve didn't without them. He talks to you. I know he talks to me all the time. He tempts me all the time. He talked to you. And so he tried to get me. And so not to this. So I said, the old devil, you go back to hell. The only peace I've known in the last few months is when I've been to Jesus. I'm going to serve him. Amen. See, God puts you through a test. He's not a pushover. He's going to see if I would do what I said I would do. I'd give him 10% at least. Then he gave me a big, then when I kept going, not too long after that, while the drywall business began to take off, now I went for 12%. I didn't go all of a sudden. I used to say I went from 10% in 1959 to 50% in 1970. That's 11 years. But I skipped how I did that. I went to 12%, another $2 or $3 a week. Instead of 15, I went to $17. And then 18 to 20, to 25 to 30. And the Bible said, he that soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. But that was sacrificial giving for me. But I proved to God that he could trust me with money. See, before God's going to bless you, you got to prove to him you can handle money.
Yes, sir.
You know what? So a way to get things from God, as I've told you, is you tell him what you'll do. How much more? See, like this building they're going to build. I've been involved in all kinds of these building programs, and I know. You tell God what you'll do if you get a job on it. You put it in writing. Write him a note and just put it in your pocket in the Bible. Have a diary. You want something from God? And so that's how you get it. So he said here, now David, back to this, and so verse 9, I prepared for me my might, verse 2 of chapter 29, I prepared with my might the house of my God for my goal. I'm not going to mention all that. If you tell about all his supplies and all he's going to give him, if you go up to verse 4, I'm skipping a lot, there's $576 million that he said, I've got to read how much gold here. He said, verse 3, moreover, I have set my affection on the house of my God. Look, he said, I have my own proper goods, gold, silver, which I've given to the house of my God, over and above all that have prepared for the holy house, even 3,000 talents of gold, the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver to overlay the walls of the house with it, and that's, someone has put, written in by rather, $576 million in gold and $36,960,000 in gold. But he's telling God, now, I put God in my will. If God does bless you, some, don't leave God out of your will. See, I want to die broke, and a lot of people are trying to help me do it. Especially some of my children. But, no, they don't buy me much. But that's another story. But I've got it set up to when I die, everything goes to Jesus, what I've got left. I had 457 house apartments. I've got 2 condos left, one in Hawaii. I've given that to God. I said, God, I'd like to stay another year or 2 or 3. Don't evict me yet. I'm praying about that. It gets all hard to fly out of the winter. But, oh, I tell you, going to bed at night and open your windows and no mosquitoes and no flies and that breeze blowing through there 10 miles an hour or something. I don't know. I've been 50 countries. I like Hawaii better than anywhere. And so, but anyway, he's telling her, he's telling me what he's done with his wealth. And my children knows they're not in the will. I've got the houses and that. I've got some bonds I took out for him years ago. And I got a stack of bonds you can't spit on top of, but that's all they're getting. That's enough, though. And some of the money that I have invested, that they worked out $1 an hour. But don't forget to put God in your will if you have anything. Leave your children a goal to set to. Now look at verse 12 of 29. He says, both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might, and in thy hand is to get great make great, and to give strength. Now, both riches and honor. Now, that right there, that one state comes from God. The closer we get to God, the more he does for us.
Amen.
I pray for God all the time. God, I want to be closer to you. That, and I have, must skip a lot of good teachings here, but I'm going to go over in 29, verse 28. It says, and David, and he died in a good old age, full of days, riches and honor, and Solomon his son reigned in his stead. Now, here it was. I'll go back to my title again. If you had 30 days to live, what would you say to your wife, your children, or mother, to your family? Now, I want to turn your Bibles back to 1 Kings, about two or three books there, 1 Kings chapter 3. Let's see if his preaching and his teachings to his son fell on deaf ears. Let me show you in 1 Kings chapter 3, when Solomon became king, what he said. And I'll give you an illustration of how I made a lot of the money here when I showed you this. It said, verse 3, and Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father. Okay, he's obeying his father, is that right? The statutes of his father. Only he sacrificed and burnt incense in the high place. Verse 4, and the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, and there was a great high place, 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer on the altar. It looks to me like Solomon's done something like his dad did. You remember Gilman, 1,000 offerings? And said, then in Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, that's what I shall give thee. And I'm going to tell you why this saves time. Solomon said, well, my daddy's dead. I've got all the responsibilities, 12 tribes, all this nation. I want wisdom. He asked for wisdom, right? And the Lord said, verse 9 now, he said, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between the good and bad, for who is able to judge this thy so great a people. Now, what he prayed, it pleased God. Look at verse 10. And the speech pleased the Lord that God, and Solomon had asked this thing. And God said to him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, you only asked for wisdom, neither hast thou asked for riches for thyself, for thou hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked of thyself understanding and discerning judgment. Now look what God said. Behold, I have done accordingly to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, one understanding heart, so there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise unto thee. To this day, Solomon has the reputation of being the richest man and the wisest man of the world.
Yes.
Now, I want you to notice and hear what he asked for. He only asked, now let me teach you a great thing. He only asked for wisdom. But look what God said, verse 13. I have also given thee, which thou hast not asked for, both riches and honor. You didn't ask me riches. You didn't ask me honor. There not to be any among the kings until all the days. Now, verse 14, God puts a good, and if thou wilt walk in my ways, keep my statutes, my commandments, as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days. I'm 85. You know how many times that a young coal miner, uneducated, start bidding on these contracts? I never had to build a toilet. Never had to take a blueprint. You build a building like this, that you have to have blueprints, and the architect's got sun, and you got to know where the weight barriers and all that is. But I had to take the drywall off of all this. I didn't know how to do that. I didn't know how to buy a big boom truck that cost $100,000 to put material. By the way, where's your dad at? They Ford Motor Company trucks, too. Big trucks, put these big bones, stabilizers on, put material 4 stories high. I was the first in Ann Arbor, Michigan, University of Michigan. I was the first one that had the boom trucks, and I made a barrel full of money before everybody else caught on. God gave me the win. I didn't know how to do all that, but God does. But look here, see, I put my hand on that verse 5 o'clock in the morning to be praying. Well, I opened my building supply business, a Jewish outfit there in town. There's a Jewish outfit said it's going to break me, send me back to the coal mines, went to my competitors, and the people in business against me, we give you a discount on your materials, and said, if you take anything you take away from Anderson, there's a millionaire, multi-million-dollar rich outfit, one of the subsidiaries out in Ypsilon, 60 miles away. Boy, that don't cost. Boy, I go to the office, I put my hand on this person, pray God for wisdom what to do. Don't you know they're going to run me back to truck mines? But the man who made all those threats to me is in a car wreck. He's Jewish guy, and they somehow or another he upset all of his business as customer, and he lost his business, and they moved up that subsidiary back to Detroit. It wasn't making any money. My truck's still running. I only had God. Ain't that off just only have God?
Yes, sir.
I only had God to go to. Boy, I can tell you one story after, I can tell you contracts God tore up and gave them to me. But it said here, if thou both riches and honor, so there not be many among the kings unto thy days. And so I've tried to walk with God. Today, this morning, up very early morning, a little at 4 o'clock, begging God for wisdom and knowledge. God, they need to hear from you today. They don't need to hear from me. And so, therefore, we can say then that Solomon, see, the thing I want to talk, behold, I've done according to thy words. I have given thee a wise and understanding heart. That's what he asked for. I've also given that which thou hast not asked, riches and honor. That means to tell me more we serve God. How do you get it? See, serving God, making money is an attribute of working for God.
Yes, sir.
Now, a lot of you people are in a good, but God got his eyes upon you. You've been helping this work here, and God's going to reward you. The more you help this work, the more he's going to help you. You're doing it because you love God, but God's got it written down. Solomon made money, and I so did Russell. And I want to give him the wise. I'm going to give you both riches and honor. That's not being many money. If thou wilt walk in my ways to keep my commandments, that's all God asks. I want you to love me. I want you to serve me. Put God first. Seek you first, the God, thing of God and this righteousness, and all these things be added unto you. Now, so more that we do for God, the more he does for us. The more we do for our wives, the better off they are us.
Mm-hmm.
And vice versa. You get to give. You give to get. And so, therefore, now what would you say? That is, serve God. And the more you serve him, he says, riches and honor come at it. That's how you get promotions on jobs. The more you do for God here.
Yes, sir.
If you go to Genesis chapter 37, verse 9, when you're employer, you can see that God is with you. When Joseph, and Joseph, after talking to him a while ago, he put in prison for 12 years. But verse right after that, though, about verse 46, 47, he was promoted from prison to the palace.
Yes, sir.
See, it didn't come easy. I don't know how long that you've got to do, but you've got to please prove God. If you're more out of God, more you do for him, more that he will do for you. Now the Bible also says, "What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul?"
That's right.
Bible means he put more emphasis upon one soul and did all the riches of the world.
Yes, sir.
Money is not the answer. I own money. Money doesn't own me. I'm going three or four, five days a week, hard as I can go. Payday someday. Now, more we do for God. But the old devil told me when I was thinking about getting saved, Russ, you can't be in business. You can't make money. You can't make any money. But the old devil said, Jesus is not for you. My brother tried to talk to me other. And I started going to church. That's supposed not to listen to him. I'm on my way to heaven. Because I told the devil to go back to hell. Bible says, whosoever shall call upon him, Lord, shall be saved.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
And John 16, the jailer, he says, what must I do to save? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and I shall be saved. So if you're in here today and you're not saved, don't listen to the devil. By the way, the devil's going to do everything he can. He's jealous of you.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't like it because you came to church today.
That's right.
He's jealous of you, of us who are saved. The devil's jealous of us because Jesus took us away from him. Huh? I took my wife away from my other boy, by the way. And so, jealous. And so, God's jealous over us. And so is the devil. So there's a conflict, the flesh against the spirit all the time. Our Father, we pray your blessings now upon what's been said this morning. We saw how Solomon became a success because his daddy, before he put a lot of time into him and tell him to serve his God. May we teach our children, may that time. Now, if there be some in here today that's not saved, I pray today they'll be saved. With their heads bowed now, no one looking around, how many have saved, Brother Anderson, if I died today, I know for sure that I'd go to heaven. I've been saved. I know where I was at and I got saved. Would you raise your hand? I know I'd go to heaven. I know I've been saved. Yes, you may put your hands down. Is there some in here say, Brother Anderson, Mr. Anderson, I don't know for sure that I'm saved, but I do want to go to heaven when I die. I don't want to die and go to hell and burn forever. I do want to be saved. Here are my hands. Pray for me. I'll pray for you. That's all I do. I won't come to you. Is there someone? Pray for me. Yes, I see it. Now you may put your hands down. Is there another? Is there another? Is someone else say, pray for me? I'm not sure that I'd go to heaven when I died. Is there another? Our Father, we pray your blessings now upon the invitation. And this one who raised her hand, I pray that they will receive Christ as their Savior. Pastor, will you come and close?
Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.